calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
You're on, Larry.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name, buried in cheers and applause? Well, of course not. I was sexually harassed. Yes, I was. And I'll tell you about it in a little bit. But first, let's take a closer look at what's going on here. We are fucked. Our species is headed for extinction, really, because the gotcha factor of this sexual misconduct controversy has become so pervasive, so all-encompassing, that it really does threaten the propagation of the species. Who will die off first? Well, alpha males, of course, or at least non-beta males. They top the list of those regarded evil and unnecessary, don't they? Of course, I'm not talking about the Harvey Weinsteins and the Cosbys and the Kevin Spaceys and Christ knows who else by the time this episode reaches your ears, because not one of those assholes are alpha males. They were obviously beta males who could not attract anyone, so they had to resort to drugs or extortion or coercion to get their jollies. And oh, I cannot miss this opportunity to bitch slap Louis C.K., one of the most unfunny guys ever to take a stage, and with mic in hand, though now we know he would rather have had his Johnson in hand. But, much as I find Louis an unfunny bore, is asking, not forcing, another adult to watch him beat his bishop a crime? What has happened to us in the last quarter century? Back in 1991, Pee-wee Herman, another comic known for his weirdness, except Pee-wee, unlike C.K., is actually funny and very creative. Pee-wee was arrested for playing with himself in an X-rated theater in Sarasota, Florida, and that killed his career. When the news broke, and it was a big story for a long time, I remember thinking, Sarasota must be the most crime-free city in America. They can assign cops to hang out in an adult movie theater to make sure things don't get, no, not out of hand, but in hand. And also protect guys in raincoats from other guys in raincoats. I'm going to do an entire episode on comedy, so let's put a pin in that and Louis C.K. for another time. But living in this gotcha age has certainly destroyed comedy, as it now threatens our very survival. I can't imagine how much it must suck to be single today. Basically, everything that goes into selecting a partner for a night or a lifetime has been declared off limits. All of the glorious mechanisms encoded into our DNA are rendered moot by digital dating. It's really the most insane idea ever. People can talk all they want about soulmates, but nobody's interested in getting somebody's soul into bed. The entire survival of the species depends upon flesh and blood bodies meshing, and digital dating takes us far away from that. Now, sex robots are the new status symbol and what every guy wants under the Christmas tree. Don't tell me we are not doomed. This is the gotcha age blended with the age of the artificial, the prosthetic. And it's fucking pathetic. But it's just what beta males and females, and oh yes, there are beta females as well, snowflakes, we're hoping for. It's an attempt to eliminate risk. Risk of what? Of discomfort? Unpleasantness? In the age of gotcha, approaching females has become just too risky. Because to be accused of anything by a female, or now, as Kevin Spacey and George Takei have learned, by a male, is to be guilty. Due process? What's that? Does not apply to sexual misconduct. Think about that new catchphrase for a moment. Sexual misconduct. We probably should demand a precise definition of that term. It's way too elastic. There used to be simple definitions in that realm to protect people. Rape was rape, a horrible crime with severe penalties. Then there was sexual harassment, which was mostly limited to the workplace. And that was simple to understand as well. Have sex with a boss and you'll get promoted. Don't and you'll be fired. Not complicated. And then there was the worst of the three by far, pedophilia, which carried very harsh consequences, and then ever harsher ones for the incarcerated, because convicts, who might admire a bunco artist, or a hitman, or a bank robber, generally enjoy killing child molesters. Just ask Jeffrey Dahmer, and many obscure creeps with short eyes, who often get shanked in the joint. But of late, things are changing. Lines are being blurred, definitions are expanding, and it's all been triggered by Hollywood. It's like Cosby was smoldering kindling, but Weinstein dumped a tanker full of high-octane gas onto it, and now it's achieved the highest status any topic can. They're calling it a, quote, national conversation, unquote. Who thinks up these terms? I don't get topical very often on this show, but this current situation of Hollywood eating itself alive is just too bizarre and too delectable to ignore. I'm loving it, because Hollywood, both the place and the industry, is a fucking sewer overflowing with vermin. It's difficult to describe how hideous, truly hideous, many of the people working in Hollywood are. But now, the rest of the world is getting a pretty good look. And it really is a small business, because even I, a Hollywood ghost, I actually know two of the sexual predators whose names are at this moment splashed across global media. They are guys I've encountered in the business, one of whom I was actually involved with on a deal. I didn't know him well enough or long enough to know whether or not these allegations are true or false, but I can state that they are both deceitful, lying, talentless, gutless scumbags. Guys that should have their teeth kicked down their throats and be left bloody and dazed in the gutter for a few weeks to think about their errant ways. I'm going to take a little detour here and answer a question I got from a listener. Why is Hollywood such a sewer? The answer all stems from five words: easy money and zero qualifications. In every other business or field of endeavor, you need to complete a course of studies, or pass a test, or show a body of work, or a level of proficiency before you get to participate. Doctors need years of school and have to pass tests. Same for lawyers, even tradesmen, electricians, and plumbers have to be licensed. You have to pass a test to drive a goddamn car. But in Hollywood, if you say you are a writer, a director, or an actor, who's to say you're not? And the sick thing is, the less actual talent or experience one needs for a gig, the higher the paychecks. Any asshole can and will claim to be an actor. And if they blow the right director or producer, voila, they are now an actor. Who can dispute this? Because performances are utterly subjective. Unlike tech people in Hollywood, whose skills cannot be faked, right? Camera and sound guys and so on. If the movie's out of focus or the audio's muddy, it can't be denied or disputed. But a shitty performance or script or direction is always a matter of opinion. So when you get a concentration of people making enormous amounts of money that comes from being an unprincipled prick, why be surprised that an industry has no moral compass? And now, as everyone has known since the beginnings of Hollywood, we're finding out how to really ace an audition, aren't we? Just drop your pants or get on your knees and presto, you're a star. Watching Hollywood eat itself alive is really fun. The hypocrisy is mind-numbing. Hollywood hates guns, but find a successful movie without gun carnage. Or an A-list actor or major studio that doesn't employ armed guards. So much bullshit. And Harvey Weinstein was a vocal and financial supporter of many women's causes. Oh, and Roman Polanski. But Hollywood is an industry that wields shitloads more influence than its revenues would dictate. And so everybody is getting hit by sexual misconduct overspray. Even women. Mariah Carey just made the shame list. And there's a term that should make you laugh, sexual misconduct. More of the infantilization of our culture. Misconduct. Conduct unbecoming. Conduct was something we were graded in grammar school. By high school, it was no longer on report cards. It was assumed that by age, 13 or 14, conduct issues had been resolved, and if any cropped up, it would be a police matter. But now, everybody in every situation is under the microscope of judgment. And few have the backbone or maturity to fend for themselves, do they? They all need the nanny state to step in and protect them. But what's happening now is, quote, inappropriate activity is being criminalized. Is that a slippery slope? Hell no. It's an Olympic ski jump, iced over and coated with 30-weight oil. Roman Polanski's a scumbag, made some pretty good movies. But that does not change the fact that he is a pedophile and should have been at home, alone, when Charles Manson's crew came calling. I suppose Hollywood has a right to give a standing ovation to Polanski's work. It's pretty good. But the man himself is a proven piece of shit. Where the hell does this end? What guy in his right mind would walk up to some pointy babe in a mall or the airport or a bar or a ballpark and try to get acquainted? The risks just obliterate the potential rewards, don't they? Our vice president will not take a meeting or even a lunch in a restaurant alone with any women. He always has a chaperone / witness. Let that sink in. Our society has become so paranoid, so litigious, so fucked, that the second most powerful guy in the world has to use a legal force field to protect himself from accusations. Some doctors have been doing this for years already. They will not examine a female patient unless a nurse is in the room. Maybe there's a business to be made from all this. Can you see the Uber-like service? They can call it Shame Stoppers. Just open the app and give your location, and whether you require a male or female or gender-neutral witness / chaperone. Do you want them to record audio or video or both? Oh, we'll need it all soon, 24/7, at the office, in bars and restaurants, in school, just in case we do something offensive or an inappropriate no-no. An offensive or inappropriate now transcends salacious offers and awkward passes. Inappropriate behavior includes compliments. Hey, Melissa, you look great in that outfit. It also includes nonverbal communications. Universities are banning gestures. No, not just the third finger. I'm talking about hand gestures that, quote, indicate disagreement, unquote, and applause of a sarcastic nature, and threatening glances, or mimicking or mocking faces. I'm not making this shit up. Google it for yourself. So in the very, very near future, maybe even right now, some fucking asshole is going to scream for a cop because they don't like the way you looked at them. Hashtag no winks. Hashtag avert your gaze. Can you see that ski jump I mentioned? Everybody's on the hashtag me too thing right now, aren't they? And whenever there's a, quote, national conversation, unquote, there are invariably those who just want to butt in on that conversation, whether it involves them or not. Years ago, I worked with a woman at a company in New York, Carol. Nice woman. Smart, fun. She was management in the company, and I was not. It was like my first job out of school, and she had quite a few years on me, at least 15. And we became friends. There was nothing remotely sexual or romantic about it. She was just a fun person. And I suppose we became friends because we both were living our own versions of double lives at that job. By day, we were button-down company drones. But in my off hours, I was still gigging occasionally with my country band. and she also had a Jones for music, new wave stuff. We kept this to ourselves because basically corporations are jealous entities and don't like the idea of people not being like everybody else. And everybody else on this job was pretty much a fucking bore. She was friends with some pretty big names like Deborah Harry and John Lurie of the Lounge Lizards, and so sometimes we'd connect away from the job and I'd meet her at some downtown club where everybody had spiked hair and safety pins in their faces, and I loved it. It was way outside my usual world. And we'd drink and laugh and hang out with Blondie and so on, and once in a while, Carol would make her way out to one of my cowboy honky-tonks and listen to me lay it down with my band. We were good friends, just friends, and it was great. She also had a lot of wild boyfriends, and she'd tell me about them. And I'd tell her about my girlfriends. She was a free spirit, not a mean bone in her body, and she loved life for the fun of it. One day, Carol tells me she's going overseas for a week, and would I mind feeding her exotic birds? Of course, I said yes, and went to her place to meet the birds, pick up the keys, etc. And when I showed up, she's wearing a robe. And as she's introducing me to the birds, she opens her robe and asks me if I like what I see. Well, she was not pointy, and even if she was, she just wasn't my type. I looked at her and said, "Carol, what would the birds say?" It was the nicest way I could think of rejecting her. And she, being the cool person she was, just closed her robe and said, "Damn it, Larry. You're very cute, and you can't blame a girl for trying." It was a brief and minimally uncomfortable moment, but it didn't affect our friendship. It happened a long time ago, and this is the first time I ever revealed this story to anyone. Now, by today's warped fucking mores, her behavior was highly inappropriate, wasn't it? Wasn't that sexual misconduct? We worked for the same company. She was an executive, and I was not. Shouldn't I have reported her? Maybe gotten her fired, or at least demoted, with some sensitivity training, huh? Maybe I should start hashtagging Me Too because of my scarring experience with the predatory Carol, So I soon moved on to another job, and Carol and I kept in touch, and one day I called her office and was told she had left the company. Which was odd, because even though we hadn't talked in a month or two, I was sure she'd have let me know if she scored a new job. So I called her at home. And the moment she picked up that phone, I wasn't certain I had the right number. She had a great telephone voice, always high energy and upbeat. But when she answered, she sounded bad, really bad. Several weeks before, she had come home from work and found some stranger sitting in her apartment. He stood up and, without a word, brutally beat her and raped her. She had missing teeth, broken ribs, cracked cheekbone. And after that, her life was basically over. We've kept in touch sporadically over the years, but the 1,000-watt light that had burned inside of Carol had been extinguished by that horrific experience. She had quit her job because she could no longer function. The music, the clubbing, the boyfriends, all gone. Of course, she had reported it to the police, but they never found the perpetrator. Oddly, she told me she'd had a fear of this happening and had always wanted to buy a gun. But New York City wouldn't allow it. Oh, the wisdom of our politicians. They know what's best for us, don't they? Fucking assholes. I wonder what Carol, or the thousands of other women brutalized and beaten, would think if these hashtag Me Too people who are hashtagging Me Too because they've been, ooh, catcalled, or ooh, wolf whistled, ooh, ooh, some bad man said something inappropriate to them and made them feel uncomfortable. So I called Carol and asked her. She told me they should shut the fuck up, because their phony Me Too bullshit diminishes and dilutes and undermines and trivializes those women who really need help. we are doomed. So now, any word, any gesture, any innuendo, real or imagined, is grounds for arrest, indictment, and conviction. Fuck the trial. An accusation is tantamount to guilt. The horror of this Hollywood shame fest is that it has blurred the lines between actual criminal harassment and ham-fisted flirtation. And it has furthered the notion that everyone is a victim. And a society of victims is a society that is doomed. I am the father of two daughters, and I would, in a heartbeat, kill for them. Or give my life for them. Anyone who would dare endanger them is subject to death by me. Consequences? I couldn't give a fuck. I'd rather spend the rest of my life in jail knowing I had defended them than live free and have let them down. So I get the female point of view better than most guys who don't have daughters. But hopefully, my daughters will outlive me and I won't always be there to protect them. I'm raising them not to be victims. They can handle themselves, and they can handle a gun. And if they could not do that, I would have failed them as a parent. Hey everybody, thanks for hanging with me here at the dojo. This episode has sparked our next bonus episode, one I've been wanting to do for a long time, How to Avoid Victimhood. So go to my homepage at thatlarryshow.com and click the Patreon banner and join the Take No Shit Dojo. It's an exclusive club where you get content others do not, and other goodies like signed books and custom recordings. You also get access to our ever-deepening bench of senseis who are here to help you kick ass. And speaking of senseis, I want to welcome our two newest financial sensei, Adam Nash, and dojo disciplinarian, the irrepressible Tess Lynch. Welcome. Now, we've had some difficulties with our email subscription service, but they tell me they've fixed it. So while you're at the show's homepage, which again is thatlarryshow.com, click the subscribe by email button, won't you? Once you do, you plug in your email address. If it's one of your many fake ones, that's okay. If you don't get a confirming email, quickly check your spam folder. That way you'll never miss an episode. And so, my friends, as we continue to watch Hollywood eat itself alive and the gotcha sickness metastasizes throughout our land, watch out for that greasy, icy Olympic ski jump. There's no way to slow down once we're on it. And it only ends in disaster. I'll see you next Tuesday, right here, where truth lives, at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. And until that time, take no shit.